Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Ruth, now the Cabinet has today approved plans to strengthen knife crime legislation. It's also introduced a number of changes to increase the use of antisocial behaviour orders, or ASBOs as they're known. Before I came on air, I spoke with James Brown, who's Minister of State at the Department of Justice with responsibility for international law, law reform and youth justice. I began by asking him to tell me what the new measures were and why they were being introduced now.
So we've looked to strengthen knife crime legislation in four key areas. So one is possession with intent to unlawfully cause injury. The second is trespassing with a knife. The third is production of an article capable of inflicting serious injury. And the final one is the manufacture, importation, sale, hire or loan of offensive weapons. And there's a list of offensive weapons in the legislation. So the current tariff is 5 years for possession of a knife, and that's in all cases. It's one of the highest in the world. It's 4 years in the UK, 2 years in a lot of other countries. But we're increasing that 5 years to 7 years for those four offences I listed out, to mark them out separate and distinct from the cases of, say, simple possession. So you will sometimes get young people, maybe just out of, I suppose, sheer stupidity, carrying a knife out of defensive purposes, for example. Now, that's wrong. It's a criminal offence and marked out as up to 5 years. But we want to distinguish that, say, from somebody who takes a knife deliberately to somebody's house or to a shop, for example, with an intention of using it. And that will carry 7 years. Currently, where somebody actually does inflict harm, if it's 10 years. So we couldn't quite go to the 10 years because we would then have a case of both inflicting harm or not inflicting harm being the same. So we felt 7 years was an appropriate point to mark that out.
What's prompted the government to move on this now?
Well, Jim O'Callaghan TD brought forward legislation a couple of years ago, which is currently at committee stage, with a similar proposal. I felt that it was something that needed to be examined carefully to assess the merits of it. We took it under the Antisocial Behaviour Forum that I set up in 2020. As a subcommittee, we spoke to a number of stakeholders, to the DPP, to the Garda Síoc Cónaí, and we finalised them towards the end of last year. And I was of the view that these recommendations should be brought forward, so they have the similar intent to Jim O'Callaghan's proposal.
Well, and at the time when Jim O'Callaghan, because he's out on record this morning saying that he brought something similar, a bill of this nature forward to increase penalties for knife crime, and it was part of the Fianna Fáil's manifesto going into the last election, but it was deemed unnecessary, these increased sanctions during the programme for government. That, he's saying that's the reason that was given for not proceeding then. So why is it necessary now?
Yeah, so it was Jim's legislation that prompted me to go off and do this kind of, I suppose, review of his proposals. So I felt there were important proposals. I felt they needed to be examined further. And after, I suppose, discussing the matter with various stakeholders, we have brought forward these proposals. They're slightly different to Jim's, but they have the same intent. And that's what we're doing here. So I think they are timely. They're important. Okay. We've increased a number of other important pieces of legislation as well. Tax on Gardaí, if it's been increased from 7 to 12 years, assault causing harm from 5 to 10 years. So we're doing a series of increasing.
Okay. So if we stick with knife crime for a second, I know that over the last 5 years, over 2,100 knives have been confiscated. Over 430 knives have been confiscated by Gardaí so far this year. Why are there so many knives being held by people in society?
So knife confiscation by the Gardaí is quite complex. Partly they have, I suppose, improved how to categorise the collections. That explains a small part of it. But what we've seen with our research, and as part of this review I carried out, it wasn't simply looking at the piece of legislation, but also looking at the causes of knife crime. They are many and varied, and an awful lot of it is domestic violence, and a lot of other measures have been brought in to tackle domestic violence, such as the new agency and a zero-tolerance approach and other tariffs as well. So that was part of it. And you also have young people carrying it for defensive purposes. You have people using it deliberately with intent to carry out serious crime. There is a lack of data in Ireland about knife crime use. We don't have a similar level as the gangland crime over in the UK, but there is an element, and I think what we're also engaging with in Garda Síoc Cónaí to see about how we can further increase Garda Síoc Cónaí going into the schools.
Have you commissioned any research on knife crime in Ireland?
We have carried out data gathering, if you like, from our hospitals, but it's quite limited, the records kept by our emergency department in this area, unlike, say, the UK, who actually keep quite detailed.
Is that an area that you will research?
Absolutely. So the area we're going to do more research on, we are reaching out to the HSC, because the main research about injury to knives can really only be gathered in a hospital setting or in a healthcare setting with GPs as well.
What you mentioned there, the causes, the reasons people carry, especially youths carry knife crime, and what pushes them in that direction. It seems to me that you don't have any research to suggest, for example, that increasing these sanctions will be a deterrent in any way.
Well, I think the main reason for increasing it is to mark out the difference in terms of those actions. So it's really looking at the punishment side of it here, that those who carry a knife with intent to carry out a serious knife crime should be marked out for, say, from somebody with a simple possession. So it's about rebalancing the tariffs here in terms of punishment.
That's surely when you get to court stage. What about acting as a deterrent? And also in terms of preventing people from going down this road at all? The surgeon, Dr. Morgan McMonagall, for example, involved in treating knife injuries, has welcomed these new measures. But he says it's one thing punishing, but the responsibility goes further than that, in that you need to address the issues behind it. Are you addressing the issues behind knife crime?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Look, when somebody gets a proper sentence for committing a serious crime, like using a knife, you know, there can be a sense of justice behind it. But that's a little solace to a family who may have a loved one badly injured or even deceased. We want to stop this happening in the first place. And that's one of the reasons we've increased significantly the funding around youth diversion projects. And I've spoken with the Garda Commissioner before, and he said that outside of increased Garda resources, one of the best ways we can make our city centre safer is more funding into youth diversion projects. And we've almost doubled the funding there already, but I expect to see significant more funding in the budget coming. Also around our youth projects, and that early intervention piece is absolutely critical. So that's also in the last couple of years, we've established early intervention workers to work with our youth workers in those youth diversion projects as well, identifying young people who have started down that pathway into criminal activity and divert them away, because that's not about being soft on crime. That's about making our community safer. Every young person we can divert away. And we've had a lot of success there, but we do need more funding, and I'll certainly be seeking significant more funding for those areas.
If that strategy, and I know you launched that youth justice strategy in 2021, if that investment is happening, why then is knife crime, especially among young people and young males especially, so prevalent? And why were so many youths sucked into the infamous Dublin riot some months ago?
Yeah, so it was a real challenge. An awful lot of those people sucked into the riots were over the age of 18, so they wouldn't have youth diversion projects available
not
to
all,
them.
Yeah.
But we have now, no, not all, yeah. But we have looked at how we can extend certain elements of youth diversion projects to slightly older people, but it won't all be extendable for understandable reasons.
But why is knife crime such a problem if you're investing in youth services?
There's a lot of complex causes to knife crime, as I said, domestic violence, for example, and we are addressing that through the zero tolerance approach, tackling that type of male aggression, which is horrific, and we've seen examples on that. For the young people in particular, there's no question with COVID and a shutdown of an awful lot of services, and our youth workers, in fairness to them, kept working, albeit with outreach programs, but not as effective. We've seen this in America, we've seen it in Europe, as a result of the COVID period, kind of where there was a difficulty in the youth services getting involved. I think what COVID showed us how important those youth services are, whether they're justice services or just mainstream community youth services.
To tackle knife crime, for example, and other antisocial behaviour among young people, those youth services now, are they at the level where they should be?
Oh, no, I have recommended that they need to increase, and I'm certainly seeking more funding for them to be increased. So we've almost doubled the funding in relation to youth diversion projects, for example. We need to see more funding going into it, and I'm certainly lobbying very hard to get more funding for those services. I think they're absolutely essential. Every young person we can divert from crime is hugely important for that young person, but it saves the community an awful lot of pain and suffering as well.
You've pointed out that it's a multifactorial problem, but I wonder if the response is multifactorial. You mentioned Glasgow because it's interesting that they've increased sentences for knife crime there as well, but they've also set up a violence reduction unit funded by government, tackle it as a national public health problem involving schools and communities and treating it like a disease, really. Why haven't you considered this option?
Yeah, so the knife crime, the research behind the causes of knife crime in Glasgow is very much around domestic violence, male violence, and in particular around serious alcohol consumption. And there was a lot of involvement of the healthcare services there, and that's why we're now reaching out to the HSE to try and get them more involved so we can get better data. The knife crime incidents did reduce in Glasgow, but kind of more down to the level that we see in Ireland. It was exceptionally high over there. So they had a lot of success early in getting a very specific area down. As I say, it's more in line now with Ireland and a more multifactorial over there now as well. And that's kind of how they're approaching it too.
You mentioned as well in passing the number of changes that have been made to strengthen the use of antisocial behaviour orders or ASBOs. You might outline to me very briefly why they are and how you expect the changes to work.
Yeah, so antisocial behaviour orders have been there for quite a time now, so they have, but they've been used quite sporadically with different districts in Longardia, Síochána. Some have used them quite extensively, others haven't used them at all. Some Gardaí find them frustrating the way they're set out in the legislation to use. They can be quite cumbersome. Other guards I've spoken to have said that they're quite effective for people who are starting out on a life of crime, if you like, to frighten them back into good behaviour, and it works. But maybe for the more hardened young people that might be carrying out, or older people for that matter, carrying out antisocial behaviour, not as useful. So what we're doing is, with the Garda Commissioner, increasing Garda training, bringing more consistency to their use and where they can be used, also using exclusion orders, so that they have a more effective base and they are more effectively used and consistently used right across the country. Again, it's not going to solve everything by any stretch of the imagination, but is a useful tool that has kind of fallen out of use by An Garda Síochána, and we want to see it being used more, because if it can deter people again from going into crime, it's a very important factor.
So you want to spread their use right across the country, all parts. Is it fair to say then that children and deprived backgrounds are being unfairly targeted for ASBOs here?
No, it's not really in particular to any one section. It's more district by district, and kind of depended more on a particular superintendent and their views on it. So we want to get that a consistency across with Garda superintendents and also with Garda inspectors. So kind of more good practice in how they're used, and that they are consistent and they're not being used to target particular communities, or there's not a kind of an air code use of them either. So that's something we're very much looking at. Look, in relation to deprived areas, we know poverty is a massive contributor to people ending up in crime. That's, you know, we need to support those young people in those areas to have the supports they need. With our youth diversion projects, it's very often the case of, why does one young person end up in a youth diversion project and another person doesn't? It can be that one person has one good adult. And that's what we're looking at, how we can support those young people to know that there are better opportunities out there in supporting them as well. And as I say, that's not about being soft on crime. That's about protecting our communities.
OK, look, we'll leave it there. Minister James Brown, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.